This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My guest tonight is, what can I say, he's the band leader and founding band member of the group called Soft Power. Matt Roach, welcome to Joy.
Thank you.
And in particular, welcome to Bent Notes.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we've heard a little bit of Soft Power. We've had your album, A Breath Is Like a Swinging Door, for what would be 2016. So we've had it for almost 2 years now.
Yeah. Funny thing about that, that album was released in 2017. It was just a little typo, but, you know, it just kind of switched out the whole year.
You mean we've only had it for one year?
Yeah.
I had this exactly distinct feeling we'd send it to... Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've certainly played some of it on the show.
Yeah, great.
But it's nice to have you in studio now.
It's nice to be here.
And I understand that having released that in 2017, you're now onto your second album in 2018.
Yeah, like, I just like keeping busy, I guess.
I think that might be the case. Now, my first question, who is Matt Roach?
Matt Roach wears many hats.
I got that impression when I checked your website out.
Yeah. I guess I've always just been attracted to music that has a kind of process behind things, as in that there's lots of different layers within it. And I think that's why I was kind of interested in starting Soft Power, because it draws on my influences with meditation and just some of, like, outside musical influences into the group.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So your meditation, how have you used that to drive some of Soft Power's music?
I guess in terms of not exactly replicating an experience, but trying to just be more in that moment and not so much, like, of course, when you're playing jazz or improvising, you're prepared stuff that you might have an idea of what you want to say. But when you get into that moment, I think coming from a meditation background, you're more willing to kind of just stay with something, even if it may seem a bit kitsch or a bit kind of lame, and just pursuing that, because then it can turn into something else.
Turning into something else. This is feeling the music as you're going is what I'm hearing you saying, and things just happen most organically?
Yeah, kind of. Like, it's more like going back to Soft Power, like the new record, for instance, it's a bit more...
Which is why you're here.
Exactly. So the songs are a bit more simpler, because I wanted to get to that space quicker, because I felt like when, like, the first album, A Breath Is Like a Swinging Door, there's like a certain complexity to it, and there can be a barrier that you have to work through, like, technically, which we did work through. But I find when the material is just a bit more simpler and drawing more on, like, rock and, like, post-rock kind of influences, we can all get into this space where we don't have to kind of consider, like, what we put into it. It's more like we're just kind of listening to the overall thing and then responding to that.
A little bit, I think, in view of Steve Settergreen, who was here earlier tonight, talking about the art of listening.
Yeah, I heard the interview when I was driving the way here. It was great. I really enjoyed it.
So he's talking about listening to his fellow musicians, listening to himself, listening to the audience, putting it all together.
Yeah.
Are we talking here from a Soft Power perspective, following similar lines?
Kind of. I think for me, like, Soft Power is more about the template, having the template predetermined. So what we put into that structure, like, there's some songs, there's a set length for the solos, so we kind of know how long it's going to be, but what happens within that, that's open. And I think having that control makes it a bit more kind of exciting, because then we can also break those barriers, which often happens in performance when you kind of, you know, go over the bar line and that kind of thing. And yeah.
Matt, you're about to launch your brand new album.
That's true.
And if Corey puts the microphone on, it'll be even easier for us to hear you say...
That is true.
Too many buttons to press tonight.
There are, aren't there? We're keeping him very busy tonight, Matt. I think you should give you a bap-bow.
Oh, I don't deserve it.
Thank you. So it's a brand new album that you're putting together, and you're launching it this Thursday night. What do you get out of launching an album in this style of, and this isn't a question I'm making up as I go here, because I've never asked this question before, what is it you as a musician and member of this band get out of going to a venue and playing music to launch this album, to say this album is now here, look at it?
for exactly that reason. I think making a bit of an event or a ritual around it, it kind of, like, it is a launch, but in a way it's also our celebration of releasing it, and, you know, lots of friends are going to be coming, so it's just a nice thing to do. It kind of cements it. It kind of marks an end point of the whole recording process, which is, you know, it's funny because we recorded this album in October last year and then got it mixed pretty quickly, and now it's coming out now. So there is that time frame that you have to kind of consider. So it's nice to kind of say, hey, this is over. And now we're going to play like some shows and do other things.
Will you continue to play the music of this album over coming time?
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
Does it also mark a point where you start thinking about the next album?
Exactly. And I think when we were recording this album, I noticed we were moving in a certain direction, and I felt like even like playing the same songs from the album today, they've kind of changed slightly, but they still retain the same essence, but there's like a different feeling behind it now.
Oh, that's
interesting. Which is always interesting, yeah.
Do you think that different feeling's been an intentional perspective from the members of the band?
I think so, because it's more, we've kind of become a bit more all on the same page, and like just having discussions about us playing together and talking through the process and seeing what works, what kind of doesn't work, and then figuring out how to get there, what to practice, what to work on, in a sense.
How many years have you been a musician as such?
I guess, well, I started playing, my first instrument was piano when I was like 7, and I was pretty terrible.
And what drew you to the piano at 7 years of age?
I think it was just the physicality of it, just seeing it there and just being able to like press your finger down and make a sound, you know, which is what Steve said earlier.
Were there musicians in your family?
No, but my grandma was a piano teacher. But like my parents were always playing music around the house, so that was definitely a big influence for sure.
So starting on piano, playing that for a little while, I assume?
Yeah, just a little while in primary school, yeah.
When did you decide that it wasn't really for you, you wanted to do something else?
Probably before the end of high school, and then I took a bit of a break, got into basketball, got into, you know, other things, bird watching. That's a joke. I do like bird watching though. It was probably in like middle high school when I realized I wanted to play guitar after like hearing Jimi Hendrix and all those great guitarists.
The inspirations for you from a musical perspective, were they from a particular genre or did you have a wide vantage point?
It wasn't so much wide when I started out. It was quite rock orientated, like Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, as I mentioned before, lots of music my dad was listening to, like The Who.
And yet now you're doing a bit of jazz.
Yeah, so when I studied music at uni, I like naturally got into jazz, and it's still one of my big passions.
What was it about jazz that drew your attention, having dealt with these other
genres? Yeah, probably what I was
saying
earlier about the process and how there's a lot of different layers to it. And so you learn like this theoretical concept, but then you also have to say something within that concept. I really was attracted to that.
Now, your soft power band you describe as a post-rock jazz band.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Exactly. Like, it's a label. I think we have to be clear about what we're doing. There's a lot of people making music these days, and I think for me, I really wanted to set almost like a manifesto for myself of what I want to achieve. So it's more of that than a label. But to answer your question, like post-rock, I feel like the feeling we're trying to aim towards is a bit more of a slow burn kind of vibe within the songs. They kind of just build and develop over the time, staying on maybe the same pattern or structure, and then it kind of changes. So that's where the post-rock would come from. And if you come to the launch, that, you know, there's a bit of guitar pedal action, a bit of, you know, a bit of distortion, delay and that kind of thing.
Something that you might normally associate more with the rock side of things.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Putting the band together, did you put it just to enjoy the music, or did you put it together specifically to create things such as the A Breath Is Like a Swinging Door and the new album?
So A Breath Is Like a Swinging Door was created with Liam O'Leary and Peter Bowman, some really good friends of mine, and so after we finished that record, we decided we wanted to move on to other things, just because we felt that it kind of stood as like a test of time, like it marked a point, and then we kind of realized I wanted to do something else within that. So then that's when I started playing with Oscar Nayland on double bass and Chris Cameron on drums, and they're on the new album.
Yeah. So it's still soft power, but it's a different lineup for the other than yourself, the band leader.
Yeah.
Excellent. Where can we find more information about you, Matthew Roach?
So just go to my website, matthew-roach.com.
And there's lots of good information there. It's interesting to have a look through your website and be able to have a look through the various projects you've got going.
Thanks.
They all are a little bit different to each other.
They are, but I feel like they kind of complement each other in their own kind of strange way.
They certainly do. For this coming Thursday night, the launch of the new album, you're launching it at the Yarra Hotel.
Yep.
And I think that's yarrahotel.com.au. I didn't write it down. But if you go searching for Yarra Hotel...
Yeah, if you search Yarra hotel, I'm sure you'll be in safe hands.
All the details are there for the gig itself. Now, you've got a couple of bands supporting you, I think I read.
Yep, so we've got, originally it was LCO Trio, which is Liam O'Leary, who I mentioned before, but now he's going to be his group, like LCO, Liam and Co. And
makes sense.
So it's a little bit more than a trio. And then some really good friends of mine, Girlatones. They'll be a bit of fun. So that's my friend Jesse Williams, and he writes very kind of wonky pop guitar songs. So it'll be a nice
Never heard music described as wonky pop.
Wonky
before.
Pop. Yeah, I feel like if you come to the gig, you'll get your ears cleaned in a kind of nice way. There's a few different things going on.
Oh, that's very nice to hear. Matt, thank you so much for coming in to Bent Nights. We appreciate your time. We have another piece of music off the album as a sampler as to what we can hear on Thursday night at the Arrow Hotel. This particular piece is called It's Cool to Be Kind. Is there a story behind this?
I just feel like, particularly in today's society, we can kind of get a little bit self-absorbed, which is a really healthy thing to do, because then you kind of look after yourself and you look after others. But this is more like about a general consensus of just trying to forget that for a moment and being kind to everyone. Cool to do it.
My guest on Bent Notes has been Soft Power's Matt Roach. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9. It's cool to be kind.
Thank you.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.